put on a stack of 45s, dance the night away. We're going to jive, and boy, we're going to jive. We're going to jive today, aren't we, Mez? This is Rich Buckland with my partner, Bill Mesnick. And the program is Put on a Stack of 45s. Here's one for you. Here's one. We're gonna.
This is a fun one.
This is gonna be a fun one. There's really nothing that is not fun or interesting about our subject or his recordings. The gentleman, some people would say, is a stiff, but I disagree. His name is Ian Dury, and we're going to talk about "Hit Me with Your Rhythm Stick," plus some
hit
of his
me.
"Hit Me," some of his other recordings as well. The thing about Ian, I recently saw Amazon Prime was showing the motion picture made about the Stiff tour, Stiff Records tour, 77 to 78.
Oh, is that on Amazon Prime?
It's on Amazon Prime. And
I want to see that. What's the name of that?
It's called, I believe it's called Stiffs on Tour.
Okay.
It is an incredible document of how this little label took all these artists on a bus and traveled all around. We're talking Dave Edmunds, Elvis Costello, Ian Dury, Jonah Louie, Larry Wallace, Lena Lovish, and there's someone who also had her.
Great lineup. Great lineup.
Nick Lowe, of course, Reckless Eric. And you've got all of these cats on the same tour, riding the same bus, and there's a lot of background video as to what they were up to while they were traveling around with each other.
Oh, I'm sure. And, you know, this is that whole pub rock, explosion.
Yes.
And Stiff was able to, I think they were right next door to Ian Dury's management. I mean, they just plucked all of these great performers right up.
Yeah, they did two tours, and Ian said, "I wish I kept a diary," but a filmmaker did keep a diary at least for that first tour. So
that's cool. There was a biopic with Andy Serkis playing Ian Dury. Came out in 2010. Sex and Drugs and Rock and Roll.
And, I barely remember it. How memorable is it to you?
I had no idea. It came and went without my knowledge. I just, in my research, I came upon it.
Oh, so you've never seen it?
No, I haven't seen it, but I'm going to see it. Okay. I want to see it.
Yeah.
I like Andy Serkis a lot, and, I like Ian Dury a lot. But apparently it's tough going because the guy had a hard life.
Well, he had a hard life, but I would imagine that the Stiff Tour was the pinnacle of what was occurring in the effort to popularize these musicians. And, of course, it gave Ian Dury a kickstart that he could never have gotten otherwise.
Right.
It is said that at the time punk was taking off in the U.K., and the halls were packed. And someone present at the show says, "I remember seeing Elvis Costello outside talking to a group of kids. And we witnessed this amazing music where these artists just were accessible to everyone." It reminded me of the 60s with my ability to go down and just sit down and talk to David Blue or Dave Van Ronk or Eric Anderson or Joni Mitchell or Judy Collins. And says, Ian Dury was always very, very funny, always very, very clever, and always stole the show. He closed the show.
I can believe it. What a spectacle. Hit Me With Your Rhythm Stick was released on the 23rd of November in 1978. It went to number one in the UK, was named the 12th best of 78 by New Music Express, and Robert Krysko and his Paz and Jop in the Village Voice said it was the best single of 79. So it was definitely a highlight. The B-side, "There Ain't Half Been Some Clever Bastards."
There ain't half been some clever bastards.
Lucky Peters.
There ain't half been some clever bastards.
Well, you don't come along many blockheads in this world that you can make that they can attribute that comment to.
It was in competition with YMCA by the Village People for the number one spot.
That's interesting, right? But because they're both you can consider them novelty records of a sort, but they were very important recordings socially.
Oh yeah,
I mean immensely important recordings socially. And it's no accident that they were competing against each other, in my estimation.
That's interesting. Yeah, well, Hit Me With Your Rhythm Stick, you know, there is a sort of a lot of stuff that he was doing was early rap, and it was combination of disco, rap, jazz, you know, very advanced, really. The Blockheads were a hot band.
Yeah, and he had the stage persona that was able to inhabit everything that he was attempting to communicate. And
he comes on stage right, with his withered arm and, you know, limping, and you know, because he had contracted polio at age 7 from a swimming pool. What a character! What a character! But the musically, there's a Davey Payne plays two saxes at the same time in that break in the middle.
Yeah,
it's really impressive.
Yeah, and it's interesting to see in the motion picture. And of course that was inspired by Ross and Roland Kirk, who played two instruments at the same time. It's interesting because he had studied art at the Royal College of Art under Peter Blake, and in 67 he had an exhibition called Fantasy and Configuration. This is someone whose artistic had an artistic dilemma: what to pursue, how to pursue it, and what was going to please him the most.
Later it was acting.
Yes, and later it was acting. So he was multifaceted, and as you were saying, had a very difficult life.
And he was described by his son Baxter as mentally violent. He said he was like a Polaris missile. He would seek out someone's weaknesses in seconds and then lock onto it. That's how he controlled his environment. So he was sardonic, angry, but amazingly funny.
As so many mentally ill people are, and there are suggestions that he did have mental issues which went undiagnosed.
As he wrote in his own song, Spasticus Autisticus.
Yes, Spasticus Autisticus. He was nothing but brutal about his condition, if not seeking treatment, at least trying to make the observations required to live with it. But it was very difficult for others to live with it. In 1977, they started performing as Ian Dury and the Blockheads. And of course, it is very difficult to separate Ian Dury from the tribe that he performed with at that particular time. But you take a look at that lineup and you have to wonder, was it the punk movement that bolstered him to be the closer, or do you think he would have been the closer at any other time in history?
Yeah, that's possible, but the punk aesthetic, when you have someone who is so, first of all, sort of damaged and angry and comes out, just his mere kind of walking onto the stage is a spectacle. And then, of course, his performance style, which was no holds barred, he was something to behold.
Yeah, he was the star. He was the spectacle. But he had the goods. So
oh, yeah.
It wasn't just a...
brilliant mind. Brilliant mind.
And a brilliant mind.
He didn't sing. He mostly speaks.
Yeah, he mostly... Yes, yes. Hence, you're depicting him as one of the initial rappers.
Yeah.
Because this is more of a poetic movement that he's engaging in with the musical accompaniment. But
Check out Reasons to Be Cheerful Part 3.
Yeah, exactly.
Reasons to Be Cheerful Part 3.
One, two, three.
Summer Buddy Holly, the working folly, good golly Miss Molly, and boats. Hammersmith Pally, the Bolshoi Bally, jump back in the alley, add nanny goats. 18-wheelers camels, Dominica camels, all other mammals plus equal boats. Seeing Piccadilly, Fanny Smith and Willie, being rather silly, and porridge oats. A bit of grin and bear it, a bit of come and share it. You're welcome, we can spare it. Yellow socks, too short to be haughty, too nutty to be naughty. Going on 40, no electric shots. The juice of the carrot, the smile of the parrot, a little drop of claret, anything that works. Elvis and Scotty, days when I ain't spotty, sitting on the potty, curing smallpox. Reasons to be cheerful.
It's all right.
Exactly. And it's almost it's almost childish in its simplicity. There's a childishness to it, but it's refreshing given sex, drugs, and rock and roll and some of the other things that came out of
it. That's an anthem, right? Sex, drugs, and rock and roll.
Sex and drugs and rock and roll is all my brain and body need. Sex and drugs and rock and roll. It's very good indeed.
Absolutely. Did he come up with that?
See, I don't know. I don't know if he came up with it. I thought that it's been attributed to the Grateful Dead. It's been attributed to Janis Joplin. It's been attributed to Robbie Robertson. And I think Martin Scorsese spoke of the early days of the Hawks, Ronnie Hawkins and the Hawks, describing their life as just being nothing but sex, drugs, and rock and roll. That's what I believe Ronnie Hawkins is also categorized. And he, given Robbie's penchant for plagiarism, there's a possibility that he heard that and took it on his own. And I don't mean that in any way to be demeaning to Robbie Robertson. A musician has to make a living, but and create an image. And it's interesting. There are many artists who have attempted to achieve the stature that Ian Dury has achieved. And let's not kid ourselves. There are going to be many of our audience who are unfamiliar with Ian Dury. Why would you think that is?
Well, I think, all told, he's probably on the obscure side, very niche. But, when you talk about sex, drugs, and rock and roll, that is ubiquitous.
Precisely. Ubiquitous. So let's get into a little rhythm stick. We're gonna hit our folks up with some rhythm stick right now. Ian Dury, hit me with your rhythm stick.
The deserts of Sudan and the gardens of Japan, from Milan to Yucatan, every woman's every man. Hit me with your rhythm stick, hit me, je t'adore, ich liebe dich, hit me. Hit me with your rhythm stick. Hit me slowly. Hit me quick. Hit me. Hit me. In the wilds of Borneo and the vineyards of Bordeaux, Eskimo, Arapaho move their body to and fro. Hit me with your rhythm stick. Hit me. Das ist gut, sehr fantastic. Hit me. Hit me with your rhythm stick. It's nice to be a lunatic. Hit
me, hit me, hit me.
They don't make them like that anymore, huh? Yeah. Jesus Christmas, they don't. Let me tell you, these kids today, they don't know a fucking thing. Yeah, I mean, that's a beautiful record. And the way it's, the entire production and the idea and the ideal that was, they were working on just was perfect. It was a perfect recording of its time.
I discovered Ian Dury, you know, at some point, and he just always made me smile.
Yeah, yeah.
He brought joy to me.
For someone so volatile, and but this is the tradition, is it not? We hear stories about those who have brought us great joys, and in their personal lives, they terrorized everyone around them.
I saw an interesting interview. It was a promotional thing that he and Bob Hoskins were doing. When they made a movie together, and to see those two blokes together on a stage, kind of, you know, jollying it up, was brought a smile as well.
Bob of Roger Rabbit fame?
Mm-hmm. Sure, oh. Bob Hoskins, who directed and starred in this movie and cast Ian Dury.
Oh, boy, Bob Hoskins. He's been gone a while.
He has. I miss him.
Yes, yes. Yes, there are many actors of that period that had this character element to them, and.
Well, speaking of gone, I don't think that we noted the fact that Ian did die very young. He was
cancer.
Yeah, cancer, and I think he was 57 years old.
He fought it for many years, and.
He died in 2000. He
died in 2000 and inevitably succumbed. But that battle is, I think there is a documentary about his battle with the disease. But I'm unsure. It's one of those things I might have run across on YouTube a while back. But I know that he had a lot of support during this fight, and he had a lot of friends, and he was very loved. And considered quite influential to those who worked with him during that period, that stiff period specifically. His stage presence, his persona, his unique stylings definitely influenced all of his bandmates, as well as those who traveled with him.
So I'm glad we're celebrating him today.
We celebrate the late, great Ian Dury and the Blockheads. Can't forget the Blockheads. You can never forget the Blockheads. And so we have once again entered a portal here. And for those of you familiar with Ian, wonderful. And if you're not, we hope that you check out some of his other work, because he did some fascinating work. Nez, any final words on the subject as we resign ourselves to having to exit on this Sunday morning?
Well, I would say just everybody keep your rhythm stick handy.
To do battle or to tickle, whichever one comes first. And on that happy note, ladies and gentlemen, you take care. Boys and girls, cats and kittens, this is Rich Buckland with the great Bill Mesnick. Put on a stack of 45s. We shall return, and we shall bring you more from the world of wonder. We'll see you
and
later.
Once again, if we put out the word, if you want us to delve into one of your favorites, let us know.
Yes, please let us know. And you can leave comments upon any episode, or you can contact us at renaissancedvd@aol.com. And please get in touch with us. Tell us who you would like us to impart our... We have this attachment to this culture. And so you will hear Mr. Mesnick and I verbalize certain things that you will not hear others verbalize. Because, Bill, you know what? We got a rhythm stick of our own, don't we, baby?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's I'm still working it.
Still working it. Still working that rhythm stick. All right. Let's not beat a horse to death, but let's move it on and forward and onward. We shall see you soon with another episode of Put on a Stack of 45s. I love you, my friend.
Love you too, my friend.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Stack of 45.